Well, when it's up on the board, scripture reading, this witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men, that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. That's from Titus chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. You may be seated. Title of the sermon is The Main Error of the Reformers. It's part two of our 500th anniversary commemoration of the Reformation. And this title is the same point I used in the last chapter of my book, Will the Real Israel Please Stand Up? But this will be a little different. In the news, a conservative activist, Candace Owens, quoted newly hired New York Times writer Sarah Jong's anti-white tweets, but replaced white with Jewish to show how such comments would never be tolerated if it was any other race being targeted. She was immediately suspended from Twitter as a result. Later, Twitter apologized and admitted they made an error. Candace Owens' tweet, and I quote, "Jewish people are bull expletive, like dogs pissing on fire hydrants. Are Jewish people genetically disposed to burn faster in the sun?" You can see how that, if it was white, applied to white, they think you're going to sunburn quick. But she replaced the word with Jewish. And she said, "The above statements are from Sarah Jong. I simply swapped out the word white for Jewish." End quote. Sarah Jong continually posts racist comments about white people, but she was not suspended. Candace simply quoted Sarah, only she replaced the word white with Jewish to make a point. Regarding her tweets, she said, quote, "My point in tweeting that and replacing the word with black and Jewish yesterday was to show how different that mentality is. When you see it in that context and you see talking about Jewish people and predisposed to burning under the sun or black people saying they should live underground, it's horrifically racist, but somehow we've got to a point in society where it's okay to say the exact same thing about white people, and that's problematic." Another example, and you can see it on the wall here. Candace Owens, "Black people are only fit to live underground like groveling goblins. They have stopped breeding and will all go extinct soon. I enjoy being cruel to old black women." The above statements are from New York Times editor Sarah Jong. "I simply swapped out the word white for black." End quote. And you got a little picture there of Candace Owens, and you can see she's black, but she's a conservative. Candace sees the double standard in media that only whites are considered racist, but people of color are not. She calls out everybody, regardless of race, for unkind language. She also acknowledges that it is the whites who are being attacked and labeled with nasty names, while others get off scot-free. Candace Owens is an American conservative commentator and activist. She is known for her pro-Trump commentary and her criticism of Black Lives Matter and the Democratic Party. I generally don't pay much attention to blacks, but I appreciate when a person of any race can admit the truth when it is staring them in the face. In our sermon, it has been said that a pastor has two jobs, to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. In our scripture reading, Paul tells Titus, quote, "Rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men, end quote. And he goes on, quote, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate, end quote. We still have many Christian, should I say, church leaders like this around us today. I think we need another reformation. Sometimes I get into conversations with well-meaning people concerned about the dreadful condition of the church and the country. I might say God is a God of judgment, or God hates certain things or certain people. Many will come back with a Bible verse taken out of context and say, don't be so negative, or we are not to judge. My response usually begins with the fact that the Bible plainly tells us that we are to judge. Quote, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. John 7:24. And he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. That's in 1 Corinthians 2:15. Electricity does not flow unless there is a negative and a positive. We need both. So I will be positive now. As a young Christian, I was an Arminian in my theological persuasion. I rejected all 5 points of Calvin. As an Arminian, I was taught that the devil was against me, God was for me, and I cast the deciding vote when I accepted Jesus. Therefore, his vote and my vote made a majority. But as time went on, I became more of a Calvinist because I realized that God is sovereign and doesn't need our vote. He chooses, not us. Quote, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. John 15:16 is one of many scriptures that illustrates this. We only choose to serve him. I had always thought that unity was an attainable goal for the church. But this conflict in doctrine has been struggled over by greater minds than mine, and still this unity has not been achieved. Men like Luther, Zwingli, Calvin, and Arminius were not able to unite the Christian world. Since Luther posted his theses on the door of the Wittenberg Church, the debate has continued for centuries. I knew that according to Genesis 3:15, there would always be conflict in the world, but why not have unity and peace, at least in the church? The church is the source of truth because of the Bible. If the Bible has the truth, then why has the church not been able to reconcile their differences and advance the kingdom of Christ? Could it be that they do not know their Bibles? I now realize that there is another option besides Calvinism and Arminianism. This option is the missing link. Finally, after 5 centuries, the church can unite. It is possible by rediscovering the everlasting covenant God made with his people. The biggest error of the reformers was that they had no covenant in their theology. They all came from their former Church of Rome, the Catholic Church. The word Catholic means universal. The Bible has never taught universalism. Just look at what happened at the Tower of Babel. We can only unite under God's law. The Catholic Church has no covenant, and neither do the Protestant churches today. The Reformers missed the key element of the Bible because of their time in pagan Roman church. And even Protestantism, as good as it was, remained Catholic. Perhaps the reason the Reformers missed the racial context of Scripture was that in their day the Christian church was white. Historically speaking, there never was a multiracial church. Christianity had been exclusively white up until about the 15th century, so the idea of applying the gospel to all races simply was not in the forefront of the minds of the early Reformers. It seems to have been an oversight. The Reformers were imperfect, and many of them disagreed in doctrine and church political relationships, but they made a good start, and we owe them our appreciation. Many of them died for their faith. Not all of the reformers missed the fact that God had made an everlasting covenant. They knew their Bible. Quote, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee," end quote, Genesis 17:7. Quote, "O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant," end quote, Psalm 105. Many of the reformers recognized the importance of a covenant in regards to forming a political alliance, that is, a nation. A prime example of this type of covenant is the Mayflower Compact, the agreement between the settlers at New Plymouth, 1620. And it says this, I quote, "In the name of God, amen. We, whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God, of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, Defender of the Faith, etc., having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith and the honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents, solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends foresaid, and by virtue hereof do enact, constitute, and frame such and equal, just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and officers from time to time, as shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience, in witness whereof we have hereunto subscribed our names at Cape Cod, the 11th of November, in the reign of our sovereign Lord King James of England, France, and Ireland, the 18th, and of Scotland, the 54th, Anno Domini, 1620. End quote. God's covenant not only encompasses the political nation, but it includes the entire elect race as well. This Christian identity understands. One reformer who understood this was Heinrich Bullinger. He lived from 1504 to 1575. Bullinger emphasized that the one covenant of grace is continued throughout the two administrations, that's the Old and New Testaments, and warned as erroneous any sharp distinctions made between the covenantal principles of the Old and New Testaments. He also recognized the importance of racial lineage in the covenant. Christians today need to acknowledge the error of not recognizing God's covenant relationship with his people and correct it. By understanding that the race issue comes first, we can unite in a new and continuing reformation for the advancement and preservation of the Christian faith. When the Pilgrims arrived in America, there were only a few Christian denominations. Now there are thousands of them. Why? Because there is no anchor to hold them together. Only by rediscovering the covenant and its racial application can we unite as the true Church of Christ. The theological move would be drastic, and many would not like the message. It would cause the biggest rift since the Reformation. But when the dust settles, it would be best for humankind, mankind, and Christians everywhere. Let it come, and the result will be the kingdom of God, quote, on earth as it is in heaven, end quote, just as our Lord taught us to pray. The thread of universalism runs deep in every religion of the world. Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, Islam, Freemasonry, Satanism, and so forth. The Saint Paul of Buddhism, a king known by more people than Jesus, King Osaka the Great, who lived 304 to 232 BC, said, quote, "One shall not condemn another religion or race by word or deed," end quote. This is the core belief of all religions and the philosophy of everyone today, but it is not in the Bible. A third option for Protestant theology? Certainly. Calvin believed the elect of God were those who were to be saved out of all races. There was no way to know who these people were. God just randomly chose them without any good reason out of his good pleasure and divine will. Arminius, in an attempt to make God appear more reasonable, less cruel and arbitrary, decided that the elect were those who had already been saved out of all races. But there was no way to identify them other than they brought forth the fruits of a sanctified life. There is truth in both of these views. However, both were wrong because both were universal. They had no covenant, which was made with only one race. If Calvin had only seen that the covenant was the reason for God's election, then God would not have appeared so illogical in erratically selecting individuals as objects of his grace. And Arminius would have had to agree with him. The covenant solves the problem. In other words, God's basis for everything he does is in his covenant. The Protestants did not go far enough. The covenantal option is the third alternative in theology. Christendom can now stop squabbling over the problems and incongruities found between Calvinism and Arminianism. Protestantism can now unite under covenant theology. We may not agree on everything, but we must agree that the elect is Israel. As Isaiah plainly says, quote, "For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect," end quote. That's in Isaiah 45:4. Christian identity knows that Israel is the covenant people, and although Israel does not always live up to the standard of God's law, and has not over the centuries, God is still working with them today and always will. The new covenant is actually an extension of the old covenant, and it is made with the same people. It is a renewal of the everlasting covenant in Christ's blood. It was exclusively made for the people of God and no one else. Why is that? Because they had broken the law, which was their covenant, and God divorced them. Quote, "And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also." Jeremiah 3:8. The prophet Ezekiel speaks of lost Israel, quote, "Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts," end quote, Ezekiel 37:11. And the apostle Paul, "That at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world," end quote, Ephesians 2:12. No hope and without God. Why? Because they were divorced and scattered into other countries. In the words of the prophet Hosea, quote, "Then said God, call his name Lo-ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God," end quote. That's in Hosea 1:9. What a tragic condition to be in. But Hosea continues, quote, "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God," end quote, Hosea 1:10. Amazing grace. This is fulfilled in the new covenant. The divorced people are now married again with Christ. The church world must remember that the basis of Christianity is Abraham, Moses, the prophets, and the law. The word Jew does not appear in the Pentateuch. Abraham was not a Jew, neither was Moses. The law was not given to Jews, it was given to Israel. Jews did not exist at the time, but their forefathers, the Amalekites, did. Amalek was the grandson of Esau. The Amalekites were the first to attack Israel after they left Egypt. The word Jews does not appear in the Bible until the second book of Kings, and there it is a spurious translation. This amazing fact alone should raise a red flag for Bible students. Back to this third option and why the debate should be over for students of theology. The truth of the covenant made by God with his chosen family, nation, and race, these are synonymous terms in the Bible, will sound very offensive to the modern world and Judeo-Christians, having been programmed like a cult. This truth was offensive to me too, but after thinking about it, who was I to question God? Did not God create genetics? And if God chose to work out salvation in a particular race, why should I say it is not fair? After all, we know that not all nations, races, peoples will be saved in the end. How can I charge God with the sin of racism, as some say? Arminius was so arrogant as to say we choose. Calvin said God already chose, but did not know on what basis. This made God appear as a tyrant, saving some while condemning others, based on nothing. However, with a covenant, there is a perfectly justified reason for God's actions. All is based on the covenant. Christian identity and the biblical doctrine of the covenant may cause us to lose friends or have the government label us as racist, but should we care? No, we serve the Almighty God of Israel, not the gods of universal salvation. Quote, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth." End quote. Deuteronomy 14:2. This is just one of many verses that proves God is a racist. If God is, then so should we. Yes, I think we should be positive, but we should also be positively in line with what the Bible teaches. There can only be unity within a scriptural context. If this means the exclusion of other doctrines, races, and other sacred cows of our age, then that is what it will take to fulfill the kingdom of God here on earth. So, my Christian friend, do you not think that the church can unite under the covenant and fulfill God's kingdom? Don't be so negative. God may very well have to bypass you in order to fulfill his purposes. Next, I want to talk about some race issues. Talk about those who profess that they know God in our scripture, but in works they deny him. The following is an example of a supposed minister of the Reformed faith criticizing Christian identity believers. And the article was called, quote, "Interracial Marriage and Racism in Modern Ministry, Two Prominent Examples." And those examples were Peter Hammond and John Weaver, and he mentions others. And this was earlier in this year, back in March, by a Dr. Joel McDermott. And I've abridged this quite a bit, but I'm reading from his article, and I've shortened it somewhat because it was pretty long. Quote, "While it may be hard to believe for many readers today, there are still proponents of racist policies in professing Christian circles. And while it may be even harder to believe, some of these proponents are in roles of leadership. They ought not to be welcomed as teachers or lecturers in any Christian doctrinal forum. There are various vestiges of racism from the Old South, segregational groups, apartheid, alt-right, nationalists, etc., which persist to differing degrees. Some, like Christian identity and British Israelitist cults, may have more extreme positions. I will say simply that my position is this. race or genetics have never had any determining effect on godly culture. Even the bloodline laws of the Old Testament were symbolic and ceremonial in nature. Faith and the law were the determining factors in both Old and New Testaments. Different people, groups, or races have never produced different cultures based upon their genetics or racial backgrounds, but upon their faith, beliefs, values, laws, and traditions. To hold otherwise is to partake of a materialistic paganism that is ironically akin to a type of Marxism and or Darwinism itself, which is a belief that material differences, race, blood, flesh, and genes, determines the superstructure of culture. Anyone, therefore, appealing to such factors, such as skin color, race, as barriers to marriage between two Christian believers, forbidding such marriages, and especially calling such marriages a sin, is in defiance of God's law, order themselves, and, all else being equal, trying to separate what God would allow to be joined. One example is Pastor John Weaver of Freedom Ministries in Fitzgerald, Georgia. Weaver is a well-known speaker at the League of the South events and is a gifted preacher known for his many sermons on the Old South, Southern heritage, biographies of Confederate icons like Jackson, Lee, and many others. He has a long history and some associations among Christian Reconstructionists as well. Unfortunately, he also forbids marriage purely on racial grounds, teaches other racially motivated errors, and refuses correction. Some have noted that Weaver openly repudiates more extreme racist groups that would hold broader segregationist views and that he refuses to associate with them. Yet when pushed to defend his views in private, Weaver has shared whole papers against interracial marriage, written and published by a Christian identity proponent, Robert McCurry. And we know him too, don't we? For those who may not know, Christian identity is a fully white supremacist view in the guise of Christianity. He doesn't like us too much, does he? Continuing, openly arguing that the new covenant was made only with the bloodline people of Judah and Israel, and that the white European nations are the tribes of Israel. Only these Anglo-Saxon races can be saved in their view, though we should treat other races kindly. Some believe that all non-white races are not Adamic and are little more than glorified beasts. As can be imagined, this view vehemently forbids interracial marriage as well. American Vision, that's his group, and I personally oppose all forms of racism, including prohibitions on marriage due to ethnicity, as unbiblical and legalistic disobedience to God. Sins in this area, especially in a society where issues of race are so aggravated by history and division, are pernicious, destructive of the witness of the church, and detrimental to the gospel of Jesus Christ. A lack of discernment on this issue constitutes an error significant enough that no proponent of such views should be entertained as teachers or leaders until repenting and having shown fruit of that repentance. On this issue, I and American Vision stand firm in the same position with evangelical leaders as diverse as John Piper, Ken Ham, R.C. Sproul, and Gary North. There is only one race, the human race. In Christ, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Believers are forbidden from marrying unbelievers, but not believers of any other ethnicity. All ethnicities in Christ are one, and two believers of any differing races may marry in good conscience freely. End quote. We disagree. All ethnicities are not in Christ. So following this is an answer to this fellow named McDermott and his American Vision. And I abridged this quite a bit too. It's even longer. And I'm glad this from Sacred Truth Ministries responded to this fellow because he needed responding too. It's called Joel McDermott, Enemy of Christendom and Enemy of God. This was earlier in the year. March, not long after, 2018. And I will quote Pastor John Weaver and Pastor Robert McCurry, two of Georgia's finest, mudslung by a wolf in sheep's clothing. Likewise, to attack Pastor Peter Hammond of South Africa shows utter ignorance. Quote, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. Luke 6:26. Remember, the persecution that Christ and the disciples and the early Christians experienced was from the church leaders, not from the government. Joel McDermott of AmericanVision.org is in good company with Judas, Annas, and Caiaphas. They are on the wrong side of, quote, yea, that all live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, 2 Timothy 3:12. And they may be on the wrong side of Christ's sword when he returns. Christ said, quote, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad, Matthew 12:30. What was Christ gathering? His sheep and wheat. What is McDermott doing? Scattering the flock and giving it to the wolves, polluting God's garden with tares and weeds. What is a person called who does the opposite of what Christ is doing and what Christ commanded? Such a person is called an enemy. John wrote, quote, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. 1 John 2, 4-6. How did Christ walk? 100% without sin. 100% in obedience to the law of God, which was not merely ceremonial or merely symbolic. Morality does not change. God forbade intermarriage, and he commanded separation. Those who think otherwise are the blind leading the blind straight into the bowels of Babylon. Confusion by mixing. This hatchet job, this ecumenical whacking, was carried out by a fellow Christian and an alleged Reformed leader, not by the ADL or Morris Dees, though I'm sure they will get in line. No, Ruth was not a Moabite. She was an Israelite living in Moab. See Jeremiah 40, verse 11. If Ruth was a Moabite, then King David was a bastard, and by God's law, which was not ceremonial or symbolic, therefore he was not eligible to be king of Israel. And Christ himself, therefore, was a bastard and could not be the kinsman redeemer or spotless sacrifice. This would mean that God violated his own law in accepting David, even declaring him to be a man after his own heart. Please, Joel, say it clearly. Tell all of us that Christ was a mongrel. I would like to have it on record. I maintain that morality does not change, and morality is everything that God declared. Quote, thou shalt not, and quote, this shalt thou do. God declared that he separated his people from all other peoples, even as he separated clean animals from unclean, and he put a difference and commanded us to respect and honor and obey that difference. God separated the races and clean and unclean animals by their very design in the act of creating each different. Do you realize that sheep do not evolve from pigs or vice versa? It is the same with people. I maintain that God did not abolish his law, and it was not merely ceremonial or symbolic. Is the sanctity of your wife merely symbolic or ceremonial? Would you mind if someone defiled her, Joel? Then why do you so casually encourage the defilement of Christ's bride? Go ahead and declare that the Christian Anglo-Israel doctrine is a doctrine of the devil and not of the Holy Spirit. Please let us get this on record. Go ahead and declare that it is a doctrine of Satan and that nothing would make Jesus happier than for the peoples of Christendom to pollute their bloodlines with third world aliens and drive themselves into extinction because the devil invented the notion of race and God hates racial purity. Please, Joel, make those declarations if that is what you believe. If it is not what you believe, then you better start backpedaling fast and get on your knees and ask God to deliver you from your Antichrist doctrines and forgive you for suggesting that the master's children breed with the dogs on top of the master's table. Zipporah was not of a different race, or God would not have allowed Moses to do what God forbade the people to do. The leaders are held to a higher standard. You preach on a kindergarten level and in complete disregard for the facts, and you disgrace the reformers and the Presbyterian faith. Even at the time of the return of the captives and later in Ezra and Nehemiah's day, alien wives were commanded to be divorced and all children by them sent away. God is immutable. Morality does not change. Your mind is polluted by the world. How dare you call yourself reformed? You are a reformed Trojan horse. It is amazing that professed Bible experts are so blind that their knee-jerk reaction is to claim the opposite of truth and claim that God violated his own law, that he changes or compromises or accepts sin or makes exceptions to morality and smiles upon and embraces that which he declared to be an abomination. Oh yes, Joel, that's what it is, morality. The same goes for any man who defiles his father's wife or his brother's wife, or his uncle's wife. Do you think those laws were symbolic or ceremonial also? Race mixing and homoperversion have been considered by Christendom to be abominations for the past 1,950 years, but in the past 68, since Antichrist and aliens have invaded Christendom and turned the city on a hill into a garbage dump, race mixing and homoperversion are now glorified and celebrated. Do you really believe that the wicked Antichrist world that opposes all that God called good and embraces and celebrates all that God called evil just happens to be right on these two issues? And homoperversion is following the exact same path? Do you think the morals of society, the intellectual understanding, the level of education, the self-control, and the form of doctrine espoused now in Christendom is better than it was right after the Reformation, right after the American Revolution? Are our streets and schools safer now than then? Indeed, our modern world enjoys thousands of time-saving luxuries and conveniences, all inventions of those wonderful third world peoples, right? But that is the only progress. Everything else daily suffers greater and greater deterioration, degeneration, demoralization, and de-Christianization. What fantasy world do you live in? This reformed heretic actually writes, quote, race or genetics have never had any determining effect on godly culture. Even the bloodline laws of the Old Testament were symbolic and ceremonial in nature, end quote of McDermott. Close your eyes to the evidence. Relegate everything in the Bible that you don't like to being symbolism or the ever elusive ceremonial law. This is an outright lie. It is blasphemy against the Word of God. Civilization would never have existed were it not for God preserving an elect line from Adam and keeping that line from intermarrying with aliens. Did you ever look up in Strong's Concordance and see what the word Adam means? Do you believe in evolution? Look at what our cities and nations were like 70 years ago, 150 years ago. Look at them now. You can see it happening right before your eyes. Non-whites flood into Christendom. Do they bring a Christianizing and civilizing effect? Do you smile and does it make you feel warm inside to consider the 1,000 German women in Cologne, Germany, raped by Muslims on New Year's Eve a few years ago? That is just a drop in the bucket. The political prostitutes in charge of Germany say they will not prosecute African and Arab Muslims raping women because it is a part of their culture. Does that give you the warm fuzzies, Joel? What about all the black on white murders in the U.S. ever since so-called civil rights? How many times in your lifetime have you seen whites riot, destroy, burn down a city, attack innocent people, simply driving by and drag them out of vehicles and beat them in the head with bricks? How many whites have you seen in the news chopping people up with machetes, blowing up themselves with bombs, or burning people alive? How many white men gang rape and beat up women or even dogs? If you and your wife are downtown in a major city, do you think you may be mugged or knocked out by a white man? Do you think your wife would be raped by a white man? Of course, white are sinful and wicked too. But if you think they are the same, why do you not live in the ghetto, since genetics has nothing to do with morality or godly culture? Black Pastor James Manning understands reality better than you do. I can show you dozens of godly societies, nations, kingdoms that resulted from Christendom among the Anglo-Saxons, Celtic, and related peoples, who, by the way, have been the only ones to preserve the Reformed faith, the only ones to formulate the Reformed faith, the only ones to understand the Reformed faith. Why is that? Why is it that when other races claim conversion and people of other races then abominably become pastors of those denominations, that those demonizations then depart from the truth and fall into Arminianism and Pentecostalism and ultimately paganism? Why is that, Joel? How many non-white civilizations can you point to that had even 1% of the civilization and Christian doctrine that the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, and related peoples had before the non-whites began to pollute Christendom? Why is it that no non-white nation or people have even heard of God until white missionaries or explorers or doctors told them about Christ and the Bible? Does God play dice and roll coincidence? Why is it that none of the non-white nations were known as Christendom? Do African or Hispanic or Oriental or Indian nations send aid to their sister nations when disaster strikes? What about to alien nations? How many non-white nations participated in the Crusades? I can count various non-white nations that were on the other side of the Crusades, including the Greeks of that time, who were mostly Turk and were not the Greeks of antiquity. Where are the moral pinnacles of civilization in Africa, Arabia, the Orient? Do they send missionaries around the world preaching love? Do Jews and Muslims teach love or conquest and submit or die? Is that the refinement you so greatly praise? Have you ever studied the Reformation? Have you ever studied the Crusades? Have you ever studied the millions of Christians tortured and murdered by the Bolshevik Jews, the Muslims, the Indians, the Africans, the Hispanics? Why do you live in a white country? Why don't you live in the black ghetto nearest to your home? You are a hypocrite of the worst type. Did you marry a white woman? Do you attend a white church? I imagine you would be happy if your children married aliens. I guess your parental method is, quote, do as I say, not as I do. God tells us that he commanded us to keep his law throughout all our generations forever, end quote. How do you twist this into being symbolic or ceremonial? This is the lowest grade of heresy, passing itself off as spirituality. McDermott, or is that McDemon, is the enemy of Christendom and the enemy of God because he has chosen to be a friend of Babylon and the world. Is he so spiritually blind that he cannot see that the only two things that the world hates are white racism, a word that didn't even exist three quarters of a century ago, and homophobia? Please, for the record, which Bible verse do you claim defines and declares racism to be a sin, an abomination? I can point out numerous verses that say race mixing is. What is your biblical support? Why are you not telling the Jews in the state of Israel to stop their discrimination and persecution of the Arabs and the pseudo-Persians and Palestinians? Why don't you tell the Israelis to intermarry with the Palestinians and Arabs and pseudo-Persians and pseudo-Syrians and grant them equal rights in the state of Israel? Because you are a Zionist. Your plan is to destroy Christendom and strengthen the enemies of Christendom. If not, please explain why. We will wait, but please at least respond and inform us how many years it may take you to actually biblically defend your position. Who has rights in black African nations but blacks? Who has rights in Arab nations but Arabs? Who has rights in the state of Israel but Jews? Who has rights in Oriental nations but Orientals? Who has rights in Indian nations but Indians? And yet, amazingly, McDeeman chooses to attack Christian brethren instead of denouncing all those other nations for their racism. What about the United Negro College Fund? The Thurgood Marshall Foundation? What about Oprah Winfrey and Bill Gates giving millions of dollars to scholarships to non-whites only? It is very interesting whom you choose to attack and whom you choose to ignore. What about the Israelis stealing land that is not theirs, discriminating against Christians and Palestinians? Is witnessing for Jesus illegal in the state of Israel? Is the New Testament illegal in the state of Israel? What about that Israeli lawmaker, Michael Ben-Ari, tearing up a New Testament? Have you ever heard Christ's parable of the person with a telephone pole stuck in his eye who went around trying to pull the tiny specks out of other people's eyes? Look in the mirror of God's word. You defend the dogs and the swine and abuse the master's children. Why is that, Joel? Can you not see that everything that God hates and forbids, the world loves and celebrates? Can you not see that everything that God loves and commands, the world hates and demonizes and tries to outlaw? Can you not see that you are on the world's side and not God's? If you heard sound doctrine from God himself, you would accuse him of sin. McDeeman believes in a changing God and a loose morality. The very same verses that are blatantly taken out of context in the attempt to justify interracial marriage, quote, neither Jew nor Greek. The same passages also say, quote, neither is there male or female, end quote. So according to your biblical interpretation, then homoperversion is fine too. By the way, Joel, what is your official position on homoperversion? Is it a sin? Does Jesus love homoperverts? Will there be homoperverts in the kingdom of heaven? Please speak up and put it on record. How immoral it is for you to claim to be a Christian minister, a minister of Christ Jesus and teacher of God, for you to espouse and spew Antichrist teaching. By your own words, you are helping rape the bride of Christ, and you are helping to murder God's children. You violate the expressed command of Christ, quote, give not that which is holy to the dogs, and cast not pearls before swine, lest they turn and trample and rend you, end quote. Oh, I guess that too was symbolic and ceremonial. The U.S. from its inception was the shining light of Christendom. In order to hold public office, one had to be a free, white, landowning male who was a Christian and lived a moral life. By the way, interracial marriage and homoperversion were originally crimes in the U.S. That's what built Christendom. The opposite has destroyed it. The Bible is not on your side, Joel. History is not on your side. Reality is not on your side. This was an all-out attack against traditional Christian values and an attack against Christendom by an alleged reform leader. 75 years ago, 90% or more of the population of Christendom were against interracial marriage. Then the traitors at the helm of our nation killed off millions of our people in a few wars. Then they began importing the third world. Then began the brainwashing from government as policy into schools, the media, and advertisements, often starting off with just an off-color arm or a very light mixed child or a very light mixed person laughing and smiling, and everyone else smiling and laughing. Then came mixing in the sitcoms. Laughing seems to be a desensitizing mechanism that works toward tolerance and acceptance. And movies, all of which first broke the ice and then rigorously pushed interracial marriage. Then homoperversion followed the very same path. Where now is the love, tolerance, and acceptance and equality of the race mixers and gender benders, which they so passionately claimed champion? Now they are the most hateful and most intolerant of all. And they have you now as their spokesman too, Joel. Surely your price was more than 30 pieces of silver, counting for inflation and all. And no, Joel, skin color is not the only racial factor. That is simply the only racial factor that non-observant five-year-olds notice. Have you ever studied biology or physiology, pathology, psychology, sociology, anthropology from a non-evolutionist and truly Christian perspective? In 1900, Europe was home to 90% of the world's Christians. 10 years ago, it was less than 1%. Is that what you call progress? It is if your Christ is the Antichrist. Compare the so-called national debt of all the unconstitutional things for which taxpayer money is illegally extracted and used, which is treason. Compare population demographics. Have you seen the homo pervert parades, celebrations, and laws to protect perversion? How it is promoted in advertisements from soup to nuts, movies, sitcoms, literature, organizations, government funding, even schools, universities, and churches, and I might add libraries. Compare statistics and how many such things existed in 1900. We are God's people. We are facing extermination by all the non-white nations of the world. No white nations are invading their nations, forcing them to mongrelize. Can you put two and two together, Joel? Can you not see the writing on the wall? Did not God cause his people to be conquered and taken into captivity over symbolism or ceremony? The nations of Christendom experienced our golden ages when our nations were comprised of our people. The alien invasion has resulted in our destruction, and like other false prophets, imagine that we are to be happy about the flood that the dragon has vomited out of his mouth to drown us, and that we should embrace the tsunami. Show me in the book of Revelation, or in any of the prophets, where God tells us to marry our children to the flood that the dragon spews forth to destroy us. God opens the earth to receive or destroy the flood to help give a little respite to the woman and her child. Otherwise, none of the elect would survive before God draws those days short. Nowhere does God inform us to convert the flood. Every great civilization fell because of violating God's command not to marry outside the race. Have you ever studied history and civilization? Meeny, meeny, tickle you farson, Joel. Will God grant you the gift of understanding and repentance? I pray that he grants you understanding and conviction and repentance unto life, or that he quickly causes you to reap what you have sown, and that your blasphemies and cooperation in the destruction of Christendom God judges quickly as a testimony to your Antichrist teaching. Quote, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. End quote. That's Galatians 6:8. And he really did a thorough job in answering McDemon. My conclusion. Nearly everyone in the world supports alienism and interracial marriage, from atheist to Christian. Fewer support kinism, most of whom allow for interracial marriage, which really does not make any sense. Why would a kinist who believes in preserving Western culture allow room for marrying outside of a race? Or are they duped by the all races come from Adam theory? It must be that they fear being called a racist more than fearing God, or they have failed to examine the scripture. Or could it be that they are simply anti-white haters? Why do anti-racism people, including the alienist and especially the kinist, not take the position that Christian identity takes? The answer is quite simple. They do not take into consideration that God himself made a covenant with a particular race. This makes God a racist. It makes the Bible a racist book, and it makes Christianity a racist religion. The Bible is about one racial covenant family from beginning to end, and it reveals God's purpose and plan for this family. How do we in Christian identity know that we are correct? We know because everything God hates and forbids, the world loves, and all the things God loves, the world hates. We know because the world system tries to silence, discriminate against, and hate those of Christian identity. We know because covenantalists cannot accept Mormonism, Buddhism, Catholicism, or a Protestantism that cannot recognize the exclusivity of the Bible and the elect race. We know because Yahweh calls himself by a racial name, quote, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, end quote. We know because of God's covenant made with his people Israel. We know because of history. Only God's covenant people have bore the fruit of Christian culture down through the centuries. These indicators confirm that we in Christian identity are correct. Here we stand. We can do no other. So help us God. Amen.